Praise the Lord. We're going to do things something a little different today, something I almost never do. We're only going to read one passage of Scripture. Now, it's a long passage of Scripture, but we're only going to read one passage of Scripture, and then we're going to talk about it. The message is, be like Micaiah. Anybody remember who Micaiah is? Praise God, you're about to find out. In 1 Kings 22, and we're only going to read the first part of the chapter. We're not even going to read about how his prophecy gets fulfilled. We're just going to read about the prophecy. We're just going to read about what leads up to it. In 1 Kings 22, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Now 3 years passed without war between Syria and Israel. Then it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, 'Do you know that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, but we hesitate to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria?' So he said to Jehoshaphat, 'Will you go with me to fight at Ramoth Gilead?' And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, 'I am as you are. My people is your people. My horses is your horses.' Also, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, 'Please inquire for the word of the Lord today.'" In other words, let's ask God. "Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, 'Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain?' So they said, 'Go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king.' And Jehoshaphat said, 'Is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?'" Now let me just stop right there. King of Judah says to the king of Israel, "Let's inquire of the Lord." The king of Israel calls his prophets, all 400 of them, and say, "Yeah, go do it." And then the king of Judah says, "Great, but isn't there a prophet of the Lord?" Like, I don't know who you called, but somehow I don't think this is what's going on. "Is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?" So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is still one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say such things." Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Bring Micaiah the son of Imlah quickly." And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, having put on their robes, sat each on his throne at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all of the prophets prophesied before them. Now Zedekiah the son of Kenana had made horns of iron for himself. And he said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Assyrians until they be destroyed." And all of the prophets prophesied so, saying, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand." Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, "Now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Please let your word be like the words of one of them and speak encouragement." And Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak." Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall we refrain?" And he answered them, "Go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king." So the king said to him, "How many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" Then he said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountain as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let each return to his house in peace.'" Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?" Then Micaiah said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all of the hosts of heaven standing by, and on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead?' So one spoke in this manner and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord, and he said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said to him, in what way? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit into the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. Now Zedekiah the son of Kenanah went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way did the spirit from the Lord go from me to speak to you? And Micaiah said, indeed, you shall see on that day when you go down into the inner chamber to hide. So the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Anon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and water of affliction until I come in peace. But Micaiah said, if you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, take heed, all you people. We're going to stop right there. We go on into the, if you read on into the chapter, you find out that Ahaz, king of Israel, put on Jehoshaphat's armor so that he was dressed up as somebody else, and he still ended up dying in battle. He still died in battle. But the point I want to make today is be like Micaiah. Let's take a look at some of the things about Micaiah that we glean from these scriptures right here to just get an idea of how we ought to live our lives. I want to say first off that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, remember Judah stayed following the Lord. Judah had the temple, Judah had the priests, and Israel, the northern kingdoms, had set up their own altar. They had their own idols. They had their own way of doing things. Yet, when Jehoshaphat says, can we inquire of the Lord? Ahaz called all of these priests, or all these prophets, and they were all saying, yep, go. You will be victorious. And they knew something was wrong. Jehoshaphat said, is there not somebody, is there not still a prophet, this is verse 7, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? We've heard 400 prophets say, go. Isn't there somebody that's a prophet of the Lord? So, in gleaning that, in looking at that, we come to find out that here is this one person, this one prophet, amongst all of these people who claim to be prophets, that set out, he is different, he is set apart. He's not part of the in crowd, but he hears the voice of God. He has opposition because, you know, every time he says something, the king himself says, there is, verse 8, there is still one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Sometimes the word that the Lord gives us, or what God calls us to do, is going to be at odds with those around us. The question is, will we be faithful to do what God called us to do, regardless of what the opposition is, regardless of what the crowd is doing? 400 prophets saying, go, you'll be victorious, it'll be wonderful. And obviously this is not the first time that Micaiah has been brought up to give a word that was contrary to what everybody else was saying. Because first off, the king kept him around. That's important. The king kept him around, even though he didn't like him. I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me. But he's there. And I listen, and I know who he is. I know who his father is. I know where he comes from. I know he is faithful to God. The other prophets didn't like the fact that you had somebody that was saying something different than what they were saying. In fact, you know, we saw that. We saw what the one priest that went and hit him. But he was different. He was kept apart. But he was faithful to God in the circumstance. When he gets called, when the guard brings him, goes to get him, wherever he was, but they knew where to find him. They knew how to go find Micaiah. He sent the messenger, go get him and bring him here. It's not like they had to go hunting for him. It's not like they had to go kind of tracking him down. They knew where he was. Because he was faithful. He was well known. He was steadfast in the things that he was doing. As we're called to be like Micaiah, to learn from Micaiah, to recognize this example, we know that it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. We are called to be faithful. I mentioned before, the very first message I ever preached as the pastor of this church was called, "What Will This Man Do?" And I was taken from the passage where Jesus has told Peter, "If you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, feed my sheep." And Peter says, sees John and says, "Well, what about him? What will he do?" And Jesus said to Peter, "If I will that he live until I return, what's that to you? You feed my lambs. You take care of what I've called you to do." Each of us, it doesn't matter what someone else is doing. It doesn't matter what the world is doing around us. We are called to be faithful to God's call in our lives. We are called to do what God has in mind for us, because all of His ways are right. So here you have this prophet in the land. He's not in the land of Judah, where everybody's going to the temple, where everybody's, for the most part, worshiping God. He's in Israel, where they've got their own altar, which is not the one the Lord ordained. He has their own priests and their own prophets, which are not of the tribe of Levi, which are not the ones that God has ordained. Whole other nation, even though they're kin to Judah, they're all part of Israel, but this is before the northern kingdom was taken away, of course. I love that it says, "And go down to visit." So down from Jerusalem, because Jerusalem's up on the mountains. Down from Jerusalem, went down to visit the king of Israel. It says, "There's this one man," verse 8, "there is this one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." He was faithful, telling the king what he needed to hear, not what he wanted to hear. As we're talking with other people, as we are being faithful witnesses of the Lord, we need to tell people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. We were talking before service, and I mentioned it in the prayer time. I'm saying it now, so it's on the recording, that there is a new law that just took place, that just went into effect in Canada, right across the border from us. Those who don't know, Canadian border right here is about 7 miles north. Right about 7 miles, right up Route 2 to the corner, right past the Welcome Center. You can take a back road and go directly up right into Canada. In Canada, a law that took effect yesterday declares that the Bible is a myth. And that anyone who teaches a biblical reference to sexuality, homosexuality, transgenderism, any of these things, because the Bible is quote unquote a myth, they will be guilty of hate speech and face up to 5 years in prison. In a time in the world where a world is turning its back on God, we are called to be faithful witnesses. And sometimes, just like Micaiah, I hate him because he never says anything good about me. He never prophesies anything good. But we are called to be faithful witnesses regardless of what everybody else wants, regardless of what the world is doing around us, regardless of what's going on. We are called to be faithful. In verse 14, in verse 13, the messenger that brought him said, "All the other prophets are encouraging the king and speaking good, and you need to be like them." And Micaiah says, "As the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak." We need to be willing to stand with God against whatever opposition there is, against whatever expectation there is of the world around us. Because at some point, we will all stand individually before a holy God. We don't get to stand corporately before a holy God. We don't get to be judged on the aggregate of our deeds, good and bad. But we get to stand before a holy God, having only the righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ. Because, as it says in Isaiah, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. As good as I am still a filthy, worthless sinner. Yet I serve a holy God, and I stand before a holy God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ because of His gift in my life. We talk about grace being unmerited favor is one of the more popular interpretations of it. But there's another thing that says grace is the gift of God in our hearts and its reflection in our lives. In other words, the grace of God coming into our hearts shows evidence in how we live. Praise God, I am not the person that I used to be. None of us are. God is doing wondrous things in us. So Micaiah goes on before the king. The king says, "Shall I go up against Ramoth-Gilead?" And Micaiah says, "Go and prosper, and the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king." And the king says, verse 16, "How many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" Micaiah's reputation, Micaiah's attitude and actions before the king were such that when he said, "Go up to battle," the king knew that was the wrong word. How many times shall I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Is our reputation for following God so strong that if somebody sees something a little bit off, they say, "Wait a minute, that's not right. What in the world are you doing?" Anybody know it's kind of embarrassing to be called out by a sinner when we're supposed to be represented? My hands are up for those of you, listening online. My hands are up because it happens. "Wait a minute, I thought you were..." Praise God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the embarrassment. Thank you, Lord, for the rebuke. Thank you, Father, that you haven't left us or abandoned us, but that you still call us out because you are calling us to be holy and faithful witnesses. So the king says, "How many times will I make you swear to tell me nothing but truth in the name of the Lord?" So then Micaiah says, "I saw all Israel scattered like a sheep with no shepherd. King, you go into this battle, you're going to die. It doesn't matter what you do. If you go into this battle, you're going to die. And God's purposing it." He said, "I saw the throne room of heaven." And God said, "Who will go and convince Ahab to go into battle that I might have him killed?" Micaiah says, "King, God is done with you. He's trying to arrange it. He wants you to go into battle because he's got a plan to take you out." And the king goes, "Anyway." He said, "I saw the different angels coming up and talking to the Lord, talking to God about how they would do it. And finally, one said, 'I'll go. I'll be a lying spirit into the mouth of his prophets to tell him so that he will go into battle.'" He gets done relaying this story. Relaying this scene that he sees in the throne room of heaven. One of the other prophets standing there hits him and says, "Well, which way did that lion spirit go?" All of this in front of the king. Declaring, this is what God's got in mind. And Ahab went into battle anyway. Ahab decided, "Well, I still think it's a good idea." Of course, Ahab did not come back from that battle. In fact, Ahab said, "Put Micaiah into prison. Give him the bread and water of affliction until I come back in peace." And Micaiah says, if you come back at all, God hasn't spoken. He was so sure. He was so confident in knowing who God was, in knowing what God had said, that he was saying, look, if you come back, it'll prove me to be a false prophet. Those of you listening and wonder what the heck just happened, I just knocked the mic off. He said, if you come back at all, it will prove that I'm a false prophet. Spoiler alert, Ahab got killed in battle in another king's armor, not looking like himself at all. Got killed in battle. The scripture says, basically, a random arrow. You know, here he is going into battle in somebody else's armor, and this random arrow just happened to hit him. I'm here to tell you, God is at work in the circumstances. And we are called to be faithful witnesses regardless of what the opposition is. But part of that comes from knowing who God is. And just like Micaiah, being the only voice, the only prophet of the Lord, all of these other prophets that were supposed to be from the Lord are supposed to be from somebody else, supposed to be out there, because Jehoshaphat has said, inquire of the Lord for me. And Ahab called his 400 prophets to, quote-unquote, inquire of the Lord. They're like, oh, with these iron horns, you will gore Syria until they be defeated. And all of these things, you will be prosperous. Go, the Lord will deliver it into the king's hands. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of God, a prophet of the Lord by whom we may inquire? He says, yeah, there's this one guy. There's this one voice. It doesn't agree with any of the other voices. It never tells me anything good. Because guess what? Ahab was a sinner. Ahab was leading the people of Israel away from God. Was doing that which was right in his own eyes, which was wrong in God's eyes. And Micaiah was a voice of righteousness in the middle of that court. And the king hated it. But he knew he needed it, and he kept him around. We are not called into a popularity contest. We are called to be faithful witnesses of the Lord. And I firmly believe that part of Micaiah's confidence in knowing who God is because everywhere he turned, everyone around him was saying things contrary to what he was sure God was showing him. But he knew from what he was facing who God is. He knew from what he was facing what God said. We read here, as we read in verse, you know, starting in verse 19, he said he saw the throne room of heaven. He was so confident in his relationship with God. He knew exactly what God was saying. He knew exactly what God was going on. Because when he had no other friend, when he had no other person around him, he had a relationship with Almighty God. So that he knew the voice of his master. He knew what was going on. God said at one point, surely I will do nothing except I reveal it to my servants, the prophets. Micaiah had a relationship so that when he said, thus saith the Lord, God had spoken. And he was confident. He was putting it all on the line. If you come back in peace, then the Lord has not spoken to me. But here I am to tell you, God is trying to tear you down. God is going to tear you down. God wants you to fall in this battle, O king. God said, who will go? Who will convince Ahab to go into battle? And a lying spirit said, I'll take care of it. And that lying spirit went into all of your prophets. All 400 of them here. This lying spirit. But I'm declaring you what God said. Now, Ahab knew Micaiah heard from heaven and chose to ignore him. Sometimes, as we're sharing with people what God is doing, they're going to ignore you. They don't want to hear it because it puts a damper on their plans. It puts a damper on their goals. But God is still faithful, and we are called to be faithful to God regardless of what everyone else around us is doing. They put Micaiah in the taking him to the Ammon, the governor of the city, and Joash, the king's son, put this fellow in prison with the bread of affliction and the water of affliction. Put him in jail. Sometimes when we speak the word of the Lord, there is opposition. Our brothers and sisters in Canada right now are facing that. Our brothers and sisters throughout the world are facing it. Being persecuted for declaring the name of the Lord. Being persecuted for righteousness' sake. And in that persecution, and in that turmoil, and in that those difficulties, come a realization of who God is, and that He loves us, and that He's at work in our circumstances. As the days get shorter until the coming of the Lord, and I'm not, you know, I don't have it marked on my calendar, but I can look at the events going on around me, and I see that now definitely is my redemption quicker than when I first believed. God is at work. Things that have been proclaimed in Scripture are taking place. More and more and more, it seems. One of the things we've been hearing, talking about the coming of the mark of the beast, and how when the COVID passports first came out, there was some question about that. Like, no, it's not the mark of the beast yet. But in Sweden, they have put the COVID passports on a microchip to be injected in you. We heard it was coming. All of this information, because in the Bible it talks about a mark in your right hand or in your forehead, and you will not be able to buy, sell, or trade except him that has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And I got to thinking, now, what kind of mark would it be? But as we see things progressing more and more and more into these last days, I don't know. But if you can get an RFID chip, small enough, as small as a grain of rice, can be embedded in you. There's a gentleman in Oregon. I saw the news article, the video clip a couple of years ago. Was getting married, and his fiance was going to have to get the chip, RFID chip, embedded in her hand as well, because all of his locks to his house were controlled by this RFID chip. So she wouldn't be able to get into the house unless she had this chip. Like, what in the world's going on? I mean, more and more and more data available on smaller and smaller things. They're talking about wanting to go from a cash society to a cashless society. So far, that's not happening. So far, the places that have tried to do it have been taken to court and lost, because paper money says it's legal tender. Last year, since the start of COVID, which has now been 2 years, since the start of COVID, there was a store in New York City that wanted to be completely cashless, and they lost that court battle. But it's come up within the last 2 years. It has come up in a court battle. These are the start of things going to a cashless society, going to where all of our information is in some sort of something that can be read. And it is just like John saw over 2,000 years ago. These things are coming. God's word is true and is being fulfilled. And if we declare things like that, the world first off thinks you're crazy. You've lost your ever-loving mind. No. But unlike Canada, I don't believe that the Bible is a myth, because I have seen it proved in every aspect of my life, in every area I've ever tested anything. God has shown himself faithful. And God's word has been coming to pass faithfully. But just like Micaiah, sometimes we have a message, or most of the time we have a message that is not popular. We have a message that doesn't tickle people's ears. We have a message that says there is sin and there is a holy God and God will not be mocked. And whatever we sow, we will reap. But praise God, we have salvation through Jesus Christ, who, because of His shed blood, paid the price for our sin. For the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. We have this message. We have this understanding. We have this hope and expectation that God is going to bring it to pass. But just like Micaiah, when you're bringing a message that's not popular, there's opposition. Even from people who are supposed to be on your side. These 400 prophets, quote unquote, of the Lord, saying, go do this. And Micaiah said, it's a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets. King, I'm telling you, God is going to destroy you when you go into this battle. His message wasn't listened to. But he still had the responsibility to faithfully deliver the message. Sometimes our message, or most of the time, our message won't be listened to. But we have the responsibility to faithfully deliver the message. Because God's word is true. And because we're not concerned about the people around us, our life on this earth is temporary. It is yet but a split second. In the book Driven by Eternity, the study guide and all, John Bevere talks about how however many years we have on this earth, when you compare those years to infinity, it's nothing. Yet how we live out that nothing impacts everything. We are called to be faithful witnesses of the Lord, regardless to opposition, regardless to oppression, regardless to difficulties, regardless to whatever we face, because our life is not our own. We are bought with a price. My Jesus loved me so much, He died for me, so that I didn't have to die for myself. I can die to myself and live for Him. I can call to be a faithful witness, an ambassador from heaven. We all are. This is the only chapter you read about Micaiah. Just this one little bit. I believe he's mentioned at the end of the chapter where he said, hey, you were right. Yet the scripture is in there that we can find these examples, we can see this, and know that God is faithful and God is speaking to us today from His Word written thousands of years ago. It still applies because we are still facing similar things. We are given examples of how to live our life. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We know, Father, that Your Word is true. We know, Lord, that Your words are right. We do thank You, Father, that You do give us examples in Your Word as to how to go about this life. And a call to be faithful witnesses regardless to the opposition. A call to know You and to draw close to You. To hear Your voice clearly. And recognize, Father, that in the midst of persecution, in the midst of ridicule and turmoil, is an opportunity, Father, to turn to You and not to those around us. To turn to You and not rely on our own strength. For, Lord, we need You each and every day. Help us, Father, to be the faithful witnesses that You've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.